Imagine this. You're driving across a bridge, maybe one you cross every day, and it starts talking to you.
Talking.
Well, not literally, but close. What if that bridge could tell you about the traffic it sees, how the weather is affecting it, maybe even give you a heads up about a potential issue before you can even see it? That's kind of the idea behind digital twins, right? Turning these silent structures into, well, insightful storytellers. And today, we're diving deep into that, specifically how these digital twins are changing the game when it comes to keeping bridges safe and sound.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty amazing concept when you think about it. We're basically taking something as, solid and real as a bridge and creating this dynamic, data-driven reflection of it in the digital world.
It's like a virtual clone, but it's not just about how it looks, it's about capturing everything going on under the hood, or should I say, under the pavement.
Exactly. It's about capturing the materials used to build it, the way it responds to things like traffic loads, even subtle changes in the environment. It's like giving the bridge a voice, but instead of words, it's speaking in the language of data.
Okay, so we've got our talking bridges, but just like any good storyteller, they need the right tools and information to spin a good yarn. Or in this case, give us those crucial insights.
Right, and that's where things get really interesting.
Yeah, I noticed our sources kept mentioning this acronym, VVUQ. Honestly, it sounds a bit like a made-up word to me. What's the deal with that?
Well, it stands for verification, validation, and uncertainty quantification. Bit of a mouthful, I know.
You can say that again. But what does it actually mean in plain English?
Essentially, it's all about trust. Think of it like a weather app on your phone.
Okay, I'm with you.
If you had an app that's notorious for being wrong, would you trust it to tell you if you need an umbrella?
Probably not, especially if it was a downpour.
Exactly. And when it comes to something as critical as a bridge, we need to be even more sure that the data we're relying on is solid.
It's not just about avoiding a bit of traffic, it's about people's safety. Remember that bridge collapse a few years back? The one that was caused by a tiny fracture no one even noticed until it was too late?
Exactly. And that's what's so exciting about digital twins. When done right, with that VVUQ in place, they have the potential to spot those hidden problems, those ticking time bombs, before they turn into, well, disasters.
Okay, now that's a powerful thought. But to catch those tiny cracks, you'd need a ton of data, right? I mean, we're talking about massive structures here.
You're telling me. We're talking sensors all over the place, years and years of inspection reports, weather data, even traffic patterns, everything you can think of.
It's like, what's that saying? Drinking from a fire hose.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. It's a constant deluge of information. And that in itself presents a whole new set of challenges.
Right, because it's not just about having a mountain of data. It's about making sure that data is actually meaningful. What good is a story if it's full of gibberish, right?
Exactly. And that's one of the biggest hurdles we face. Data quality. A faulty sensor, an incomplete inspection report, even just a typo, it can all skew the bigger picture. Imagine trying to navigate with a map that's full of errors. That's what we're trying to avoid.
So it's like cleaning up a really, really messy manuscript before you can even start reading the story,
Yeah.
making sure the bridge's story is being told clearly. But even then, even if the data is pristine, processing that much information, that can't be easy. It's not like our brains can just like download it all like in the Matrix.
You're right. It takes serious computing power to handle all that data and turn it into something useful, something we can actually use to make decisions about a bridge's health and safety.
Right, because we're not just talking about static 3D models here. These are dynamic, always-on, always-updating representations of a real physical bridge. That
Yeah.
has to take some next-level processing.
Absolutely. And it's not just about the processing power itself, but the speed. We need those simulations to run fast enough to allow for real-time decision making.
Oh, I see. So it's not enough to just know what happened yesterday or last week. You need to know what's happening right now, this very second.
Imagine a bridge sensing a sudden gust of wind, right? We need the digital twin to analyze that information on the fly and alert engineers immediately.
Right, so they can take action if needed. It's the difference between reacting to a problem and potentially preventing it altogether.
Exactly.
But even with all this incredible technology, I have a feeling human judgment still plays a pretty crucial role, right?
Absolutely. Think of the digital twin like, well, think of it as like having a superpowered assistant.
Oh, like a.
It's constantly monitoring, analyzing, flagging things that seem off, but ultimately, it's still the engineer, the human expert, who makes the final call.
Right, because they bring their years of experience, their understanding of that specific bridge, its quirks and all.
Exactly. It's a partnership, really, a collaboration between human and machine. And that's where things get really exciting.
And that makes a lot of sense. But I imagine all of this gets even more complicated when we're talking about older bridges, right? I mean, some of these structures have been standing for centuries. Trying to outfit one of those with sensors and create a digital twin, that must be a whole different ballgame. Yeah, it's like try to, I don't know, install a state-of-the-art sound system in a vintage car. Got to be careful, right?
Exactly. You have to work with what's already there, the existing structure, the materials, and often you're dealing with limited access.
Yeah, I imagine trying to figure out where to even put sensors on a bridge that was built before electricity even existed. That's got to be tricky.
It takes a lot of ingenuity, that's for sure. And then even once you've got the sensors in place, interpreting the data from an older bridge, it's a whole different challenge.
Right, because it's not just about the bridge as it is right now, it's about all the wear and tear, all the history that's gone into it.
Exactly. You could be dealing with decades, maybe even centuries, of wear and tear, repairs that might not have been properly documented, materials that behave differently today than they did 100 years ago.
So how do you even begin to separate like the whispers of age-related changes from something that's actually a sign of a serious problem?
That's where the expertise of those engineers really comes in. It's about combining what the digital twin tells us with their knowledge, their understanding of how these older structures behave.
So it's like having a, I don't know, a historical architect who can look at the digital X-rays of a building, so to speak, and understand what they're seeing because they have that deep knowledge of the past.
Precisely. They can spot those subtle signs, those almost imperceptible patterns that might not be obvious just by looking at the raw data.
That makes a lot of sense. But let's not forget, these digital twins aren't just about looking back, are they? They're also about trying to predict the future, to see those potential problems before they even happen. How accurate can those predictions really be?
Well, we haven't quite reached the point of having a crystal ball, but we're getting closer all the time.
Okay, so how does that work?
We're talking about building models that can extrapolate from existing data, factor in things like weather patterns, traffic loads, all sorts of variables, to make predictions about how the bridge might behave years, even decades from now.
So you could potentially know if a bridge is at risk long before you see any visible cracks or anything. That's incredible.
It has the potential to be a real game changer, but of course, there are limitations.
Right, I imagine the further out you try to predict, the more uncertain things become.
Exactly. It's a bit like predicting the weather. You can be fairly accurate in the short term, but the further out you go, the less reliable those predictions become.
Sure, that makes sense.
But the good news is, these models are constantly learning, evolving as we feed them more data. The more we use them, the smarter they get.
Okay, so it's a continuous process of improvement, always tweaking, refining, making those predictions more accurate. But I have to say, even with all this incredible technology, even if those models become incredibly precise, there's still the human element to consider, right?
100%. I mean, we could have the most sophisticated digital twin in the world, but if the people responsible for maintaining that bridge, if they don't trust the technology, if they don't understand how to use it effectively.
It's like having a, what's that saying, a state-of-the-art kitchen, but you don't know how to boil water.
Yeah, something like that. We need to make sure that the insights, the information that comes out of these digital twins, it's presented in a way that makes sense to the people on the ground, the engineers who are ultimately responsible for making those crucial decisions.
So it's not just about the technology itself, it's about that human-technology interface, making sure they work together seamlessly.
Exactly. And that involves things like user-friendly interfaces, clear visualizations, maybe even some interactive features. We need to make it easy for those engineers to understand and trust what the digital twin is telling them.
Right, because ultimately it's about empowering those people, not replacing them, giving them the tools they need to do their jobs even better. But from what we've been discussing, it sounds like there are some pretty significant hurdles to overcome to make these digital twins, well, a reality for every bridge out there. What would you say are some of the biggest challenges facing this technology right now?
Well, we've touched on a few already. Data management is a big one. How do we handle these absolutely massive data sets, ensure data quality, and make that information easily accessible to the people who need it?
Right, it's like, I don't even know, it's like trying to build a library for an entire city's worth of information. But instead of books, it's sensor readings and simulation results and all of that. You need a system that can handle all of that and make it easily searchable.
Exactly. And it's not just about storage and access, but also security. We're talking about incredibly sensitive data here. We need to make sure it's protected from cyber attacks, data breaches, all of that.
Right, because the last thing anyone wants is for a bridge's digital twin to fall into the wrong hands. That could be disastrous.
Absolutely. And then there's the question of long-term sustainability. These digital twins, they need to be built to last. Remember, bridges themselves can last for centuries. We need digital twins that can keep pace with that.
So it's not just about building the bridge to the future. It's about making sure that bridge is still standing 100 years from now. It's not just about building a bridge to the future, but making sure that bridge is still standing 100 years from now, which, let's be honest, feels like a pretty daunting task. Are there reasons to be optimistic? What are some of the things that give you hope in this whole digital twin endeavor?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's easy to get bogged down in the challenges, right? But there's a lot of really exciting work being done. And one of the biggest reasons for optimism, I'd say, is that we're getting smarter about how we approach these digital twins.
Okay, I'm intrigued. Smarter how?
Well, remember that VVUQ acronym we talked about earlier?
Vaguely. It still sounds a bit like a made-up word, but I'm getting there.
Well, it's more than just a fancy word. It really represents a fundamental shift in our thinking.
Okay, so it's not just about slapping on a band-aid at the end. It's about making sure the data is solid from the get-go.
Exactly. And that means being rigorous about everything. Where we place sensors, how we calibrate them, how we process and analyze that data, every step of the way.
So it's like quality control being baked in from the ground up.
Gotcha.
What else is getting people excited?
Another really promising area is the development of what we call hybrid models.
Hybrid models. Okay, you're gonna have to break that one down for me.
Sure. So traditionally, we've approached these digital twins from two main perspectives. You have physics-based models, which are all about the laws of physics, the equations that govern how materials behave under stress and strain.
Right, so like how a bridge bends under weight, how the wind affects the cables, all of that.
Exactly. And then you have data-driven approaches, which are all about using algorithms, things like machine learning, to find patterns in massive data sets.
So instead of relying on equations, you're letting the data itself tell the story.
Right. And what's really exciting about hybrid models is that we're starting to combine these two approaches. So, for example, you could have a physics-based model that captures the overall structural behavior of a bridge.
Okay, I'm falling.
And then layer on top of that a machine learning algorithm that's been trained on years of sensor data. Data on things like traffic patterns, temperature fluctuations, even tiny vibrations.
So it's like having a team of experts, each with their own area of expertise, all working together to get the most complete picture possible.
Precisely. And that's really where the power of this technology lies. It's not just about the models themselves, it's about the collaboration, the bringing together of different disciplines and perspectives.
Right, because building a bridge, or in this case, a digital twin of a bridge, it's not a one-person job.
Yeah.
You need engineers, you need software developers, you need data scientists, you even need policymakers.
Exactly. And that's something else that's really encouraging. We're seeing more and more collaboration happening in this field. People from all these different backgrounds coming together, sharing ideas, working towards a common goal.
And that goal being making our bridges safer, more resilient, more prepared for whatever the future throws at them.
Absolutely. And it's not just about the bridges themselves. What we're learning from this technology, it has the potential to transform how we approach all sorts of infrastructure challenges, from roads and railways to energy grids and water systems.
This is really inspiring stuff. We're not just talking about making bridges safer, we're talking about building a more sustainable, more resilient future for everyone.
Exactly. And that's what gets me up in the morning. The fact that the work we're doing, it has the potential to make a real difference in the world.
And that's what we like to hear. But all of this, it requires people. Right? People who are
Yeah.
passionate about this technology, who understand both its potential and its challenges.
Absolutely. And that's why there's such a big push right now to train the next generation of engineers and technicians.
So, for anyone listening who might be thinking, this sounds amazing, but how do I even get involved? What would you say to them?
I'd say if you're fascinated by technology, if you're passionate about infrastructure, if you're eager to learn and be challenged, then this is the field for you.
There's a place for everyone at the table.
Absolutely. We need people with all sorts of skills and backgrounds: software developers, data analysts, civil engineers, even communicators and policymakers.
This has been an incredible conversation. I always knew bridges were impressive structures, but learning about the world of digital twins, it's like seeing them in a whole new light.
I agree. It's truly fascinating stuff, and we're just scratching the surface of what's possible.
And for our listeners, the next time you cross a bridge, take a moment to think about its digital twin, working silently behind the scenes, keeping you safe, and maybe, just maybe, whispering stories about the city it holds up, the history it's witnessed, and the future it sees unfolding.
You never know. It might just inspire you to join us in building that future.
This has been The Deep Dive. Thanks for listening. And until next time, stay curious.